This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you that we can come this afternoon and that we can worship you, the creator of heaven and earth. That's what Marco also said beforehand. So astonished if we see everything what you've made, and you made it for us, because we were lost in the creation cycle, for us to enjoy it, but also for us to manage it. And we thank you, Father, for what you've given to us, that we can enjoy it. And Father, that you love your creation so much that you've given your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can have a relationship with you which is going to last forever and ever. And Father, I pray, Lord, as what we're going to listen this afternoon, or what you want to share with us about the church, that we can be reminded again how important it is of where we are busy with and where you want us to be busy with. And Father, it can be hot and it can be uncomfortable. But Father, I pray that we can focus and that we can take something along this afternoon which is going to help us in the rest of our lives, in a relationship with what the church is concerned. And maybe there was a flat tire when we came on the way over here, or something else that kept our mind busy, but I cancel it in the name of Jesus Christ. That we can focus on what you want to share with us this afternoon. That we can be open and that we can receive from you. Thank you, Father, that I also can pray for the flow of the Holy Spirit, that we can experience the presence of you through the songs, through the words, through the communion, through the community what we are over here, through the fellowship, that we can enjoy it, and that we know there's a God who loves us. Thank you, Father, that we can pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we were worshiping, I felt that there is somebody to whom God has been speaking, that he gave that person a certain picture or a message or a verse or something like that through the worship part. And if it's you, then I'm inviting you to come and share it. If the Lord spoke to you through the worship part, which is then the message what the Lord has got for us, then what congregation is concerned. We've got a microphone special for you, Arjan.
Well, when René was using the flags, the colors were white and blue, I suddenly realized the flag of Israel is blue and white. And white is the, how do you call it? The
purity?
It's blue is a kingdom, and white is a priesthood. Mm-hmm. And those two combined, that is what God has for Israel. He wants to be a koninklijk priesterschap. I don't know.
Yeah, kingly priesthood.
Yeah, and that's his plan with Israel, that it will be a kingly priesthood, and as an example for all nations, of course.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Arjan. Thank you. Thank you for being obedient as well. The Lord, what I felt, wants to speak to us about the church. And I got the title, Why? Because. Now, we are parents and we are grandparents, so many times the children are coming to you and they ask you, why? Why? And then you've got to explain. And then you've got to tell them, because. We also sometimes come to God and then we're asking him, why? And then we've got a question mark. And then God is coming back to us with an exclamation mark and he says, this is why it is. This is why. And what I feel what the Lord wants to speak to us today about is about the church. Because why do we have a church? And I can give you some time to speak to each other, but I think you can speak the whole afternoon, and I'm afraid I've got quite a few things to say, so I'm not going to do that. But why do we have a church? And why do we have church? And why is there a Shofar church over here? Why? And then the answer comes, because it's God's plan. That's why there's a church. That's why we are over here. That's why there are other churches at other places. People who were obedient to what God told them to do. And they planted the church, or they started the church at different places. I'm now going to speak about of what is a church. And there are 12 points. And to make it easy for you that you're not going to fall asleep, I've put all 12 points of them on those sheets which are laying next to you or whatever. Please take it, read it. If you need a pen, there are some pens at the back as well on the tables as you entered, if you want to write down something. And you can take it home as well. I think because as I went through it, it helped me also to understand what is actually a church. Because it's so easy to talk about it. I'm going to church, or we've got a church. And if we take a look in the world, then the church, they think about a building. But if we're talking about a church, we're talking about the people in the building. That's for us, the church. So there are quite a few points over there, what I'm going to run through one by one. The first is that the church is presented as God's people, because all who have been spiritual saved, purified, which means made holy and set apart for God's purpose. And we can get that confirmation in 1 Corinthians 1 verses 2, where it says, to the church of God, which is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints, with all who are in every place, call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Those people are the church. Believers together, they are church. And we are pilgrims. We are pilgrims on a way to a better home, which is heaven. So we've got a heavenly hope. And the part out of Hebrews is talking about it. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. We are strangers and pilgrims on earth. We are going somewhere else. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. And therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them. There's a hope, because there's a hope where you're going to. Thursday evening, me and Renee, we evangelized together. We were a team on Thursday evening. And the Lord spoke to Renee beforehand and said, you're going to speak to a person who's on the street for nearly 20 years already. And we found him. We spoke to him. And what he said, I've lost my hope. We as a Christian, we as church, we must have hope. That is a characteristic of a church. We must have hope. The church is made up, that's point two, the church is made up of people who are called out of the world into God's kingdom. We are being separated from this world, from the lifestyles and the practices which are common in this world. And 2 Corinthians also is explaining that with beautiful words. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God wants to be in a relationship with us. And there he carries on. Therefore, come out of among of them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. It's special. God wants to be our father. He wants us to be sons and daughters of him, and that we should separate ourselves from the world. The church is the temple of God and the Holy Spirit, because God's presence is among the followers and in the church community. And the verse which has been used quite a lot is the one in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And this is what the church is as well. The Holy Spirit must be over here. If we are limiting the Holy Spirit by structures and we say we must start exactly 3 o'clock, yes, I'm a little bit Dutch, I try to start at 3 o'clock, But if we say, okay, then we do this, and then 5 minutes we do that, and then Marco can sing three songs, then by 12 and a half minutes past three, then we will be, no. Then you do not allow for the Holy Spirit to flow. And we must allow for the Holy Spirit to flow. We must allow as a church that we can be the temple for God and for the Holy Spirit. Because it says that if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. The church is the body of Christ. And a body is a living organism, and it's all connected up to each other. And if Christ is the head of the body, then we are connected up to Christ. We as a church cannot be separate or separated from Christ. We have got to be linked up. And it says over there in Ephesians, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that part of the body is for me also a beautiful example. Yesterday we had Encounter 2. We were talking about the church, how people can become part of the church. But we are different parts of the body. We've got different talents. We've got different things that God has given to us. But we need each other. Because if I'm a hand, I need a foot to move. And if I'm a shoulder, I need, something else to give me energy, or to a tummy again to give me energy that the shoulder can move, and so on and so on. We need each other. And not one person who can be everything. We need each other. We've got to also find each other that we are a total body. The church is the bride of Christ. That we read in Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 27. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And there we can see there's a relationship between Christ and the church. That the church is the bride of Christ. The church is a spiritual fellowship. The Greek word over there is koinonia. I'm not from Greek origin, so I'm not quite sure if I pronounce it correctly, but I trust it should be more or less correct. And that's a group of believers who share a common relationship in their love and worship of God, as well as a common interest and purpose. And they share the experience of God's Spirit living in them and through them, which brings them in unity with Christ. So they allow the Holy Spirit. A church has got to be there to allow the Holy Spirit to come and work through us. If we're going to limit the Holy Spirit, if we're going to close the doors, if we're not going to pray for it, that the Holy Spirit is going to flow, then we are not a church anymore. Luke 11. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And that we also have got access to the baptism in the Spirit, which empowers us to spread the message and to fulfill his plans. The church is also a spiritual ministry, and then the Greek word over there is diakonia, and it serves through the use of various gifts, and then the Greek word over there is charismata, granted by the Holy Spirit to edify the church. Gifts which were given by God so that the church can be edified, that everyone in the church can be edified by it. And edified is basically means by strengthened by it, encouraged by it. Romans 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So we're not going to put them in a box and leave them at home, but let's use them. Where we spoke about last week about preparation, when you come to the church that you are also prepared. Did you say, Lord, if you want to say something through me during worship, or if there's a certain message which you've got, or maybe a word or a word of knowledge for somebody, I'm open that it can be used. That it's given to us, let's use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, and let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, and he who sows mercy with cheerfulness. And the church is an army involved in a spiritual conflict. Yes, it's an army. The world is a fight. And the church, we are part of it. Because the enemy is trying that we are not the church what Christ wants us to be. He wants us that we are not coming to the church, that we cannot have church. If this whole corona thing now, if we can say, is from the devil that we cannot come to the church every year, it's a pity. I think because a lot of people started watching via Zoom and YouTube and things like that. So I think instead of that, the amount of words which has been said about God has decreased, it actually increased. And we are also now more creative to reach to people who are not in the church. Ephesians 6, 10 to 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, which means the scheming, the schemes what the devil has got. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may also be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, to stand. A lot of times they're talking about the six armors what you've got, but the most important one is the seventh, and it is prayer. Because the prayer is the most important weapon which God is giving us in the spiritual warfare. We're getting there. The church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. So if I'm saying something which is not the truth, which is not written in the Bible, or which I maybe made out myself, please, don't stop me over here, but make contact with me afterwards and say, what you've said over there is not the truth, because it's not written in the Bible, or where do you get it? Because for the person coming in, the church must be the place where he's finding the truth. If the person comes in and says, okay, I first of all have got to first screen everything what is said and check it against the Bible if it's correct or not correct, then you're going to be quite busy over here. But I always want to make sure, that's why you will see I've got quite a lot of scriptures to substantiate this, what I'm saying over there, that it's the truth, because it's coming out of the Bible, and which is the truth. 1 Timothy 3, these things I write to you, this is Paul writing then to Timothy, though I hope to come to you shortly, but if I am delayed, I'm not quite sure if he's coming by train or by boat, but he says, if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground, the foundation of truth. That is what the church is. It's the foundation, the pillar of truth. Here we've got one again with the hope. The church is a people with a future with hope, and this hope is focused on Christ's return for his people. And that beautiful thing what Jesus has said in John, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, if I think about the word mansion, it's huge. It's big. And I trust it is big. We can also say dwellings, that maybe all of us have got three bedrooms. I don't know. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. This is the hope that we've got, that Christ is preparing a place for us in heaven with the Father forever and ever. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, that you may also be. That is giving us a future, that's giving us a hope, something where we can go to, which is making us enjoying it. Exciting. The church is visible and not visible. A little bit difficult to understand if I would say it's visible and not visible. If they're talking about visible, or if let's first do the invisible one, which I wrote over here. We cannot see all the people. We cannot say, the church in China, for instance. We cannot see all the people at once. So that's invisible, but it is visible if we're talking about the congregation. So at the moment we can say this is the congregation of Shofar Utrecht at the moment because it's visible. We can see all the people. Revelations 2 verses 26, and he who overcomes and keep my works until the end, to him I'll give the power over the nations. So there will be visible and invisible, the different churches. But unfortunately, we also have got churches who claim that they are following Christ. If we would do this type of checklist, we will see many of those, they are failing because it's not there. They are busy with other things. And Revelation is warning those people. And it says, so then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. We cannot see them as a church. They can have a sticker on the outside of a church. On the letterhead, it can say church. But if we would take these pieces of paper and we would go through it, then we will say, but wait a moment. They are not a church. They are busy with other things. At a certain time, a certain statistics was given to me that a certain church group, 40% of them believed that there was a heaven. Now, if we take heaven out of church, what we spoke about it just now, are you then still a church? You can't be a church anymore. For what are you going to church then on a Sunday? Is it just for the coffee or the tea? Then the last one. The church is built on the solid rock of bold confession and proclamation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he's the Savior of the world. This is where Jesus is speaking to Simon Peter. And Peter is replying, and Peter is saying then, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is where the church is built on that confession, on that statement. And Jesus carries on. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, meaning son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So this was not a bright moment of Simon, but it was really the Holy Spirit speaking into him that he could make that confession. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. We come back to those verses just now. But what's God planned with the church? Has God got a plan with the church? What does he want to do with the church? God is preparing the church, and God is continuously building the church. He's continuously busy with it. It is not a matter of that God is not involved, that he's sitting one side as a spectator and say, okay, let them carry on, maybe I'll see them afterwards again. No. The door is open. We invite God into the church that we can build, that we can be busy with building the church. Because God has got a plan. Jesus is building the church, and the Holy Spirit is helping us to build the church. The Trinity is involved in building the church. I'm going back again to that Matthew verse, and I'm going to add a few verses at the beginning, and I'm going to add one at the end as well. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, so he must have been a guy, he was quick with answers. Immediately he reacted on it. But what he's saying over there is so profound, is so important. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is a testimony where the church is built on. You are the Son, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood is not revealed, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The word Peter and the word rock are exactly the same. But they're not the same words, because Peter means a small rock. And if we take a look at the word over here, the word rock means it's a big rock. It's a large rock. It's It's not exactly the same. I'm not going to into an argument about certain churches who interpret it maybe a little bit different. And then it says, it carries on, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. What's happening in the gates? If we take a look at the gates of the cities, the people were coming together over there. Common things which were of interest for that town were discussed over there. Issues, if there were problems, they were sorted out over there. That was done at the gates of a city. And the gates of Hades, nothing from what has been decided, what the devil wants to do, is going to prevail it, is going to stop God's plan, is going to stop Jesus Christ building the church. And that is actually giving us peace, because we know that if we are linked up to Jesus, that we are busy with a project which is not going to be stopped. Yes, we may be going to have our hurdles, like this corona thing, but it's not going to stop us. And maybe it was planned at the gates of Hades, I don't know, but it's not going to stop us. We're going to carry on. And I also say to you, Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and then the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosened in heaven. I will give you the keys. Now, if we take a look at the words again, when Jesus was speaking to Peter, what he said, and I say to you, is different as what I will give you. It's two different personalities. I tried to figure it out where I could really get it in a good, wording, but it's different, which means it's not only Peter who's got the keys. It's not only Peter who can bind and loosen. It is for each and every believer what we can do that. And then also, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven. What we're basically doing, we're binding on earth what already has been bound in heaven. And we are loosening on earth what already has been loosened in heaven. And that is the privilege what we can do, that we can bind and that we can loosen as what it is necessary. So where are we today with building the church? Where are we with Shofar Utrecht at the moment with building the church? A few weeks back, the beginning of August, we were 5 years over here. And so, 5 years we've been building the church. Where are we? What are we doing? Where are we going? And then I felt that the Lord led me to the small prophet, the minor prophet Haggai, and where he was speaking to the people and where they were building the temple and rebuilding Jerusalem. And there are similarities, what we can see, what happened over there, which is applicable for us in our time as well. The people out of Jerusalem were taken by the Babylonians out of Israel. So they went on exile. They were caught captive, they went on exile. And then the Babylonians, their kingdom or whatever type of authority what they had has been taken over by the Persian people. And then the Persian people said to the Israelites, you can go back. You can rebuild Jerusalem and you can rebuild the temple. And approximately 50,000 of them, they went back. And there were two people with them. The one is Zerubbabel, he was a governor, and then the other one was Joshua, he was a high priest. And if we take a look at Zerubbabel, he is in the lineage from David. So he is linked between David and Jesus, if we can put it that way. So again, it's awesome to see that God sent the Babylonians to take them out of Israel, but then also tell the next person from Persia to send the people back again, but then also send along what was necessary. Because what Arjan was speaking about just now, king and priest, those were the two which were part of it. Thank you for that. That was necessary. This is part of God's plan. This is how God wants to work. He wants to have the authority going along with it as well. And then the people started with the building process, but There were people around him, and you can call it group pressure. And then they stopped. They stopped building and rebuilding the temple. They put the tools down and they went home. And then Haggai comes in together with the prophets, Zechariah, and they are trying to motivate the people to start again. And if we take a look in Haggai, we can more or less divide it in four different parts. And there's a lot of information in it, but I'm only taking one or two things out of it, which I think is important and which is applicable for us now. The first thing which was addressed immediately in the beginning is the priority of the people was misplaced, because the people were busy with their own houses. The people were not busy with building God's kingdom. And this is what also been said, because the people themselves said, the time has not come to build the church. So if we would say, me and Renee, are we not, the time has not come to build the church, then yeah, what are we doing? Then we locking the door and we go, and nothing is happening over here. But that's not the case. Because the people were saying that, but then the reply from God, and then the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, yourselves, to dwell in your paneled house and this temple to lie in ruins? So he's talking about it, and he's saying, this is not correct. Your own houses are paneled. So it's not just one sheet of, but they are paneled. So they must have been very nice, those houses, what they've built. And the temple is not being built because it's laying in ruins. And later on in Haggai 1 verses 9, he repeats it again. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs his own house. The people are focused on the house. The people were not focused on what God wanted them to do, that they should rebuild the temple over there. But once Haggai said it, the people responded. I nearly would say they got a wake-up call. Hey, wait a moment. God is speaking. We better listen. And what he's saying is correct. We're busy with our own stuff. We're not doing what God wants us to do. And then they react. And then they start. And then they are starting with the building process over there. And then immediately, it's nearly, you see the one reaction after the reaction. When they started building, God is saying to them, I'm with you. I'm with you with the building process. You're not on your own. I'm with you. And that's always awesome. If God is telling us something to do and we do it, then you always get a confirmation from God afterwards with it as well, strengthening you again that you know, okay, I'm on the right way, what the Lord is asking me to do now. The second part is the one in Haggai 2 from 1 to 9, is that the people had expectations. They could remember, some of them, how the old temple had looked like, and they had expectations. So they started building the church, and they had the old temple in mind, and they wanted to build something which would more or less be the same and would be exactly the same. And we shouldn't do that. What God is telling us to do, then we do it. And we're not going to say, okay, but wait a moment, now we've got to compare with somebody else. When we started the church over here, it's not that we said, okay, there are five churches around us, they are going to be a certain type of an example for us, and we're going to try to duplicate. No. You do what God is telling you to do. And then the people of in Haggai's time, they battled with it because their expectations was not correct. But then God is giving them a promise, and he says, the glory of this letter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Because what is happening if you are busy with something where you've got certain expectations and you're busy with building things, but you're not quite sure because you're trying to duplicate this or you're trying to duplicate that, and you're not really listening to what God is telling you, there's not going to be any peace. Because you do not know when you really have done what God wanted you to do. Because you are comparing continuously with something else. And that's not giving peace. But then the Lord says, the latter shall be greater, and I will give you peace, because you will get peace once you know you're doing what the Lord is telling you to do. The third part, which is later on in Haggai 2, where it's talking about a covenant faithfulness, and that the people should be obedient, and that by being obedient, that they also would be blessed as well. And then the last part is that there's a future hope of God's kingdom, what God gave to them then when he said, the glory of the latter shall be greater than the former. Now, if we take the summary from what is written in here about Haggai, then we can see this pressure from the outside. Now, I'm going to compare it a little bit to our situation over here at the moment. And it's not a condemnation. It's actually just to make us exciting about what we're busy at the moment with, what the church is concerned. There is pressure from the outside. There are people who are going to ask you on your Monday, what did you do the weekend? And then you're afraid to say, I went to church. No, you don't have to be afraid of that. It's an opportunity to start a conversation to say, I went to church. I met other people over there. And this is what I learned at church. This is what they brought under my attention. Where did you go? What did you do? And that you can start a conversation. We also see that the people were busy with their own houses and not with God's house. It is happening that people are busy with their own things. Your house has got to be cleaned. You still have got to do the washing. You still have got to buy stuff. Tomorrow morning, you've got to be early at a certain meeting, things like that. There are enough reasons. Enough reasons which the world is telling us we should focus on. But we must put God first. And we must put that what he wants us to build a church, that should be our priority. And we shouldn't compare. It's so easy that we compare. If we take a look at the whole advertisement industry, it's actually comparing. It's showing you somebody who already has got a beautiful new car. And now you want to compare yourself. You say, I also need a new car or a new bicycle if you cannot afford a car. Whatever you need. Because you're having a look at what somebody has got and then you start comparing. And we shouldn't do that. We should look for what God is telling us to do. And we should get our strength. We should get from that promise of God where it says the latter temple is greater than the former, encouraging the people, building, and gets them focused. So today is not a matter of that there's a condemnation that we are maybe, I should say that the pressure from the outside that is forcing us into certain directions, or that we are maybe busy with our own houses, or that we are comparing and that we're not really trusting God's promises. It's not a condemnation. It's actually something what I want to say where I'm excited about. When I was busy with it and I finished early this morning, I got excited about the temple again. I got excited about God's church again because it's his church. Jesus started with it and he's asking us that we should be involved in it. And what we've seen as well today in those 12 points as well, we cannot be isolated from the church. We must be part of the church because you are part of the body. If you're a hand which is walking on your own, no, you're part of a body. You're included in it. And we invite each and everyone. And if we've got a body which has got three hands, it's fine. I'm not that much worried about it. We'll handle it. But that we are going to see it as an excitement, an encouragement, what God wants to do with the church, and that God wants to work through us, that the church is going to be, is already planted, but that the church is going to grow. If we also take a look at, we are 2 weeks away from what planted is concerned, and planted is also specifically looking forward to the next period. Beginning of this month, when I spoke about the 5 years which are finished now, and I felt that the other 5 years or the next 5 years are now going to be two hands and 2 feet, so we're really going to start moving now. That with planted as well, we are looking for what God is telling us to do. And those who are going to register, please pray beforehand as well and ask what God is telling you. What were we going to do? What should we do? Where do you want to get involved? That as a church, that we can move. Because we've got an instruction. We've got to do something. And we are not alone. God is with us. And he is with each and every one of us. Haggai 2, verses 4 and 5. Yet now, be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all the people of the land. Be strong, all the people of Shofar Utrecht. Be strong, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you. I am with you. And what more do you want? That God is telling that to you. You're busy with something, with godly things. And you hear that echoing in your head, I'm with you. What more do you want? The Creator of heaven and earth is saying to you, I'm with you. I'm with you, said the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. So my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. We are not alone. God is with us. His spirit is with us. And we do not have to have any fear. I want to summarize it. And I want to say to all of you, you were born for something very special. All of you, each and every one of you. You're not a duplicate of somebody else. You are unique. And you were born for a specific thing. And what you were born for, I'm going to say it to you now, is more important than what you are at the moment or what you've got at the moment. Where you're going to and what God and how God is going to use you is going to be more important than what you are or what you've got at the moment. Because we are continuously growing along with the Lord. And if that is happening, then we are growing, and then the church is growing. We've got a purpose as well. And then of those who are working, you must probably have got a type of a job description somewhere in your drawer of the things what you've got to do. God also has got a job description for you. He's got a plan for you. And he wants to share that plan with you so that you know how God can use you for building his church. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 till 13. I've added the other two as well because I think that's where it is going about this afternoon. And that's a communication with the Lord. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. So the Lord has got a job description. The Lord has got a plans for each and every one of us. Not one is excluded. For each and every one, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace. That's what God wants to give us. Welfare and peace. That peace, like we spoke about it before. We're not running around and comparing with other people, not quite sure is this correct. Or we've got peace because we're doing what God is telling us to do. I always sleep well at night, not the last few nights because it was a little bit too hot. But I've got peace in my heart because I continuously ask God, what do you want me to do? And what he's telling me to do, then I do it. And that makes it so much easier for me and that gives me peace. That's why I'm sleeping well. Ask Renee. And then you will call upon me, and welfare and peace, not to evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. This is where we are separating ourselves from all other religions because we've got a hope. This week I went and I bought some toner for the printer and the guy had a little bit of an Islam background, if I can put it that way. There was no hope. There was no peace in him because he didn't know. I said to him, are you going to heaven? I don't know. But we can be sure, because the word which is the truth is telling us if we accept Jesus Christ, then we've got a relation with the Father, and then we're going to heaven. And that's giving us peace, and that's giving us hope. To give you hope in your final outcome. And then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. God is waiting for us that we must come to him. When we walked in this afternoon, there wasn't a job description or layout of the sermon over here that God already put down and say, okay, this is what I want you to do. No. We've got to go and ask God, and then he will share it with us, and he will tell us what we've got to do. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and heed you. And then you will seek me, inquire for, and require me. Marco was also talking about that seeking. Seeking God, seeking his face, inquire for and require me as vital necessity. Vital necessity. If we haven't got that, we're basically dying. This is what it says over here. I took this one out of the Amplified, but it gives a good description over there. We've got to go to God. It's vital. It's necessary. And find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And then God will show us. And then he will tell us. Now, it could be that you say, well, it's nice to hear that God is speaking to you, but God is not really speaking to me. He's not giving me pictures, or he's not giving me anything. Then I'm going to put a challenge on your table for this week. And I'm going to say, speak to God. And say, God, this is what your word says. And you can read it again, and you say, you will seek me, inquire me, and find me, and then you will speak to me. Father, speak to me. And what I'm going to ask you to do is at the table when you go out, there's a card over there where you can write names down. And I'm going to ask you, if you haven't already got such a card, take it along, put it on your table. And when you've got quiet time, or if you're kneeling, put it on the ground and say, Lord, this is now seeking God. Whose name must be written in there? For whom must I pray? As a church, we want to grow, meaning that other people are going to be included in it as well. Whom do you want me that I should pray for? And if you put that card in front of you and you start praying and you're asking God, I'm going to guarantee you, God is going to show you a face, or God is going to give you a name. And I may be prophesying this now. If you haven't heard God's voice and you're battling to, take that and try it. And I'm going to guarantee you it's going to work. And steadily you're getting used to it, to approach God and to speak to God about certain things. Because what do you want to do? This is not for yourself. This is not that we are going to have next week that we say, okay, can you all please show your cards, how many people you've... No, we're not doing it. We're not comparing. But that you're going to start a process with God, that you've got that link with God, and that a church can be built as a result of that. So those are the cards. And if you say you haven't really got a problem with praying for people and so on, there are other cards on it as well, which are the invite cards. Please take them along as well. Have one or two always with you that you can hand it out. There are a few pens as well, the famous pens with the banner. On a Thursday evening, we could also give that person one of those pens. Have one with you, and if necessary, two, that you can give it to somebody else, but that we can be busy with the church. Because God is not busy with the church to be passive and to be as what we are at the moment. Building, and building means that you are continuously busy with making it bigger. And this is what God's plan is. He wants to build a church, but he wants to use us to do it. But we're not alone. God is with us, and the Holy Spirit as a helper. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come this afternoon and that we can just say, awesome. Awesome that we can be part of a church. And knowing that this is your plan, Father, this church is not a plan of some guy who wrote in 1600 a book or something like that. No, this is your plan. This is Jesus. Jesus said, I'm building my church, and it's Jesus' church. It's not the Shofar church. It's not Derkan and Renee's church. It is your church, Father. And this is so awesome that we can be part of it, that we could read those things which we've got to have in the church, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we are going to use that time, that we are going to approach you, that we're going to seek your face, and that you're going to communicate to us what is it, what you want that we should do. We've heard about Ekai, where you spoke through him, the prophet, and he spoke to the people, and the people reacted. But we're living now in a time where we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that you speak to us through the Holy Spirit, and that we can communicate with you, and that you are sharing with us what is it, what you want us to do, for whom we should pray, and what we should do, if we maybe should bring a plate of food to the neighbor, or whatever, for building your church. Thank you, Father, that we can be used for your church, and that we could be encouraged again this afternoon, strengthened again, irrespective of the weather is concerned, to build your church on this earth. In the name of Jesus, amen. They still have got a few things on their heart, what they would like to sing. There is also going to be possibility for prayer, for ministry. I'll be moving to that side. If you need any prayer, if it is healing, if it is something else, if there's something what I've mentioned, what you say now you would like to bring that to God, feel free, do it. And again, I'm challenging you, speak to God this week. Take a card along, and I'm guaranteeing you, he's going to show you a face, or he's going to give you a name, that together we can build God's church. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.